God is good.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the Father's house.
Yes, it is.
Not the hog pen.
Amen.
There is glory in the house.
Amen.
Peace in the house.
Amen.
Salvation in the house.
Amen.
Healing in the house.
Amen.
Everything you need is in the house.
Yes.
Everything you want is in the house.
Yes, amen.
If it's not in the house, you don't need it.
Amen.
If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for the sweet word of God and for the spirit of truth that opens the word to us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes this morning that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us a spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Well, what can I mention to the students? We're starting something new this morning. We're trying to see how it works. So let the teacher teach all the way through again. He's going to give you a chance to make your comments or any questions. Since we're operating on a small amount of time this morning.
Well, we'll see how that works. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I can operate that way or not. Anyway.
You're the teacher. If you can't, you know, I know it's going to be time that you're going to ask this.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true. That's right.
You bring them in.
Yeah.
But since it's such a small amount of
time,
it's not that students can't say anything.
I understand.
You are put there to equip us.
Well,
and.
Yeah.
You may say, well, but that's part of the fivefold ministry to equip us. And you can have what you want to say, and then we can say whatever we want to say, discuss whatever we want to discuss as students.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, we can find something else, another way. We just try different ways to try to see how it would, you know, accommodate the work for us.
Yeah.
We're trying to pull more out of our teachers. That's what we're trying
well,
to do.
You know, yeah, I know.
Pull it all out. Bring it out.
Jesus.
The teachers, yeah, I know, but, you know, I got, you know, I yeah. We got to learn.
Yeah.
The idea is for us to learn.
Amen.
And I don't know that the best way for you to learn is for me to just drone on and on and on about stuff. I think, you know, a lot of times the best way to learn is for you and I to have a communication and have a talk.
It is.
And
sometimes the student can overtalk.
I know, I understand. That is absolutely correct.
That's what we're trying to do.
You're right about that. So we got to hit a happy medium here somewhere. That's exactly right. We need a happy medium. But folks learn better when they're interactive.
Okay. Y'all can continue to interact. I mean,
yeah.
If the students get too long.
Well, yeah, you pull a plug on them over there.
I'm not the teacher.
You're the referee. You're the referee.
I'm not the teacher, so I'm going to leave that up.
Sometimes I get, you know, you need to, you know. Okay.
All the time I pull the plug when you get talking about the injustice. You know, you're thrown way out and you never will.
Yeah.
So I'm asking yourself on that too, bro.
Good old end times. Praise the Lord. All right, let's talk about we're in the book of Acts, chapter 12. And we were in the middle of a very peculiar prayer meeting here. And I would suggest to you all that as we read this story, this account of this prayer meeting that the early church was having here over Peter's treatment, that this is not the way that you pray. This is not the way to have a prayer meeting. You say, well, you know, they got results. Well, you know, a person could say, okay, maybe God moved because of their prayer, and
he's calling you out.
Maybe it was just a sovereign move of God that had nothing to do with their prayer meeting.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Maybe. We don't know. All we do know is that when Peter showed up, they went bananas. They didn't believe it was even him. The little girl went to the door. She came. She wouldn't open the door because she didn't think it was him. Or she thought it was him, sounded like him, looked like him. But she wouldn't open the door to him. So she went back there and told the people. She said, Peter's out there. And they said, you're nuts. He can't be out there. He's in prison. We've been praying for him. What do you think we're doing? We're praying for him. He's in jail. Can't be him. And then when it, and so she constantly affirmed when Peter, but Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now, do not allow yourself to be surprised when God answers your prayer.
Amen. It depends on too what they were praying for.
I don't know what they were praying for. But whatever what but this
were praying for.
This is what we don't this is not the way to conduct a prayer meeting. When God shows up and moves mightily, then you can't believe it. You're not doing good. When this is a faith accident. This is a good example of a faith accident. Unless it's a sovereign move of God, which had nothing to do with their faith. And sovereignty, if God moves in a sovereign way, it's got nothing to do with your faith. None. Because if God moves in a sovereign way, he can move whether you had faith or not. It's got nothing to do with your faith. And it may not have had a thing to do with their faith. We don't know that for sure. But anyhow, this is a very strange prayer meeting, folks. When you praying for somebody to be healed, and that person jumps up off the bed and runs off, don't be surprised.
That's right.
And if you are, you just take your hand and you slap yourself silly. And you say, I will not do that again. When I pray for God to move, I will expect God to move, and I will not be surprised when he does.
Act accordingly to the move, that's right.
You expect him to move and you act like he already has moved. That's what faith is.
Yeah.
That's what faith does. These folks, I tell you, they had problems now. They had problems. I don't know what in the world I don't know what happened here. This, to me, is a perfect example of a faith accident, unless it's a sovereign move of God, which had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Well, Peter had a special work to do.
Peter did have a special work to do. There's no doubt about that. There's no question. God wasn't done with Peter by any stretch of the imagination. God was not done with Peter. But they'd already killed James. James was dead.
No, it says in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God.
Yeah.
It didn't say it was that group of people. It said the church.
That's true.
But
it directs us to this particular house where they were praying. And they were the church, or they were part of the church, for sure.
I don't believe everybody was surprised. There were some real true people in there that weren't surprised when they seen
it. You think that?
Yes, sir. I don't think the whole group.
Where does that say that, Mary?
I see what you mean, but
I understand.
But that's just your personal opinion about what happened.
But I'm saying, I don't think all of them were surprised. Someone was looking to see Peter.
I don't see it.
I know it don't say it in there.
No, I don't see it.
Does it say everybody was surprised?
No. Says they were. When they opened the door and saw him, they were surprised.
It says many were gathered together praying.
That's many.
And when she knew Peter's voice, let's read this. Let's go back there and see if we can find any evidence that what you're saying is true, okay? And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house. This is in verse 12. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as
many.
Peter...
okay.
All right, many. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she heard Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, you're crazy.
Okay, now she didn't have any doubt.
Everybody said that.
She didn't unlock the door because she was glad. What did it say? Reread it again. Read it out.
She opened not the gate for gladness.
All right.
She believed.
She,
all right.
The little girl believed.
She was excited.
Yeah. She was excited, ran in and told him. Peter,
okay.
That's a good point.
Okay.
All right.
You know, children will.
All right. Now, there is. Okay. I'll give you that.
Yes.
Rhoda.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't say Rhoda was surprised.
No.
That's a good point.
It doesn't say Rhoda was surprised.
Right.
Since she recognized his voice.
She recognized his voice. It doesn't say that she was surprised and in disbelief. It doesn't say that.
How old is Rhoda? Do we know?
We don't know. A damsel, that's the young, I would say probably a teenager.
It says in the New American Dictionary she was a servant girl.
A servant girl.
So, okay, so I'll give you, it doesn't say Rhoda was surprised.
And then they thought she was crazy. But they didn't hear Peter's voice.
They didn't hear Peter's voice.
Or see him.
No.
You know, I don't think she saw him either. She recognized his voice.
Uh-huh.
It didn't open the door. I would think the door would be solid, but I don't know.
It's a wonder of their faith. They should have, you know, been praying for him like that. They should have expected him standing there.
You're right, Nick. You're right. And there is no excuse.
There is no excuse for this. We don't know how they prayed.
There is no excuse. I don't care how they prayed. There is no excuse. When you pray and you ask God to move, you don't put limitations on God how he can move.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah.
That's right.
Very important.
Now you expect God to do a mighty work.
Yeah.
And you don't tell God, now God, you got to do it this way. I want you to do it this way and no other way. If you're praying that, you're praying wrong.
Right.
You let God move the way God wants to move.
Amen.
And you get ready for a blessing.
Yes.
You get ready for a miracle. You get ready, get ready, get ready. Because when God moves, he's going to do above and beyond what you expect.
That right there was
or ask or think.
Well, he said believe when you pray.
That is absolutely right. You've got to believe that he is able to do above and beyond what you ask or expect.
Amen.
And it's not going to come the way you think.
And it generally almost always does come different. Deliverance almost always comes differently than you think it will.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always better than you expect.
Right.
He's the God of more than enough.
Yes, you are, Lord.
He don't just do barely stuff.
And he does stuff that you would not expect.
He
like
does stuff you don't.
Eyes,
he does stuff you don't expect.
Your eyes near thing to heal.
Well, see, sometimes we put God in time.
You do. We put God in a box. We're always trying to put God in a box and say, you know.
Time and space.
Sure.
They were probably looking more of him getting out tomorrow. Not that night, but maybe tomorrow they would release him, you know, or something like that.
I don't know.
Don't put God in time and space.
All I'm saying is don't pray like this.
Yeah.
Don't pray like this. Don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be like these people. This is not an example of how we ought to pray. Now, I don't know how in the world they got an answer, but like I said, it's either a faith accident or God operated in some sovereign way, one or the other.
Well, they prayed in the Spirit and didn't know how they were praying. Maybe.
We talked about that last time. That is another good point. If they were all praying in the Holy Ghost and they were asking for stuff, they didn't even know what they were asking for.
Oh, yeah, the Spirit was praying for them.
That's true. And that's something else. But look here, when you're doing that, mm-hmm. when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you know you don't know what you're asking for. You know you don't.
Yeah.
So you need to expect God to do things that you might not have thought about.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Huh?
Good.
When the Holy Ghost is speaking through you and praying through you, you ought to expect he's praying great, mighty prayers.
Amen.
And that you ought not be surprised when those prayers are answered.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Amen.
We ought not to be amazed. We ought not to be surprised when God answers and comes on the scene, people.
Amen.
We just need to expect these things.
Amen.
We need to expect miracles and signs and wonders and great things in our lives.
Amen.
We need to expect it daily.
We've got to believe, though, that the power is working through us. Just like Paul said, I didn't come in here, you know,
that's right.
enticing words.
That's right.
Demonstrate the power.
That's right, in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. That's exactly right. And that is a real good reason for us to pray daily in tongues. Because he makes intercession for us in ways that we can't. That we don't even know. We have a tendency to pray little prayers, small prayers, you know, like this, you know, well, you know, you know, like these people may have been praying small prayers, like Mary says, you know, well, you know, we don't expect him to get out tonight, Lord, and we don't expect you to deliver him tonight, but somehow or other, maybe tomorrow or next week, you know, we could use a little help next week somewhere. But they didn't expect, you know, that God was going to do a great miracle and send an angel and open the doors of the prison in the middle of the night and bring him home in the middle of the night. They obviously didn't expect that. But they may have been praying for that very thing in the Holy Ghost, and they didn't know it.
Yeah.
But when the Holy Ghost prays, the Holy Ghost is not going to pray little bitty mealy mouth prayers.
Come on, yeah.
The Holy Ghost is going to pray big, powerful God prayers.
Amen.
He's going to be talking God talk.
Yes, sir.
And that's one reason why you see that we ought to do it, because he thinks bigger than we do.
Yeah.
And we may not be able to, you know, bring ourselves sometimes to ask for the things that the Holy Ghost will ask for.
That is so true. Because he searches out things.
That the deep things of God. The deep things of God. So we need to pray in the Holy Ghost.
I like that. That's right.
Glory to God.
We may not be brave enough.
No, that's right. We may not be brave enough to ask God to do what the Holy Ghost will ask for.
And not only that, he'll open up the Word to you further when you take and pray in the Holy Ghost. Alive.
That's true. That is absolutely true. That's another benefit of praying in the Holy Ghost.
That's what he came for. He said
that's
for
the Spirit of truth. Lead us into all truth. That is absolutely right. That is one of the great ways to get into the truth of the Bible is to pray freely in the Holy Ghost. We need to do that because the Lord does. Mm-hmm. He moves in all kinds of ways when we do that. All right. So let's move on here a little bit. And so they opened the door. And he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. So, that was the end of them.
Well, that's job security right there.
You didn't want to let a prisoner escape. Or you pay for it with your life, which they did.
Yeah.
And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave God not the glory, but and he was eaten up of worms and gave up the ghost. Now I want to point out something here. That it says here, the angel of the Lord smote him. Now I've heard it said many times that whenever the Old Testament, whenever the Word of God says the angel of the Lord, it always means Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. You've always heard that. Well, that ain't true. That is obviously not true.
Just like leaven don't always mean sin, does it?
No, it doesn't always mean sin. Leaven sometimes is real leaven, okay? Uh-huh. It's real leaven. But in this particular case, it says the angel of the Lord. So in this particular case, this is the New Testament. It's the last time I checked, the book of Acts was in the New Testament. Jesus had already gone to the Father. He is already seated at the right hand of the Father. But it says the angel of the Lord. It's just like the angel of the Lord back in the Old Testament. And this was not Jesus in his pre-incarnate state or any other kind of state. This was the angel of the Lord that smote Herod and killed him. That's what it says. So I don't say that every time that says the angel of the Lord is Jesus. Obviously it's not here. So I can't be sure that in the Old Testament it's the same thing. Obviously. Now there may be times in the Old Testament when it really is Jesus. And I think maybe there are some times when it's Jesus, but I can't teach, and I don't teach, that every time the angel of the Lord appears in the Old Testament is Jesus in his pre-incarnate form. I can't do it, and this is one of the reasons why I can't do it. Because, yeah.
In Revelations, they speak of an angel, and it's a capital A.
I don't believe it's a cap. See if you can find me one. I don't believe it appears, not in the King James Version. I don't believe it's in a capital in the King James. There we go to end times again.
I'll tell you this though, what really gets me about this right here is these people right here, man, you know, they saw the miracles and everything, and I hated they didn't get saved.
Yeah. Well, Herod was, you know, Now, Herod was a really, 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 really bad man. This was the guy that killed John the Baptist.
I know.
And when, you know, the night before Jesus died, they took him to Herod. And Herod asked him all kinds of questions, and it says that Jesus answered him not one word. Now, if you are ever in terrible, terrible, terrible shape, it's when you try to talk to Jesus and he will not answer you one word. You are in bad, bad shape. When Jesus will not respond to you in any kind of way, you're dead, you're toast, you're history, you're out of here.
You got some serious problems.
You got dead serious problems, and right here it caught up with him. It really caught up with him here. And he was eaten up of worms and died a terrible, horrible, awful, miserable death, which was richly deserved.
But that's only the beginning of it, though.
Yeah, that's the beginning.
See, the hell and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the soldiers up here, see, you know, they were executed.
Yeah.
Gone. They're in hell.
I know. It's all true. That's all true.
We have to remember that when we see people out everywhere.
They're gone. They're gone, man.
How many funerals did we see yesterday?
All right.
Two.
It's time to go. God bless you.